Satan loves to play games, anything to deceive us and keep us from knowing God and His will. I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hello, and thank you for joining me. This is Dr. Fred, and you're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We have been dealing with the subject of alienology, and what we've determined, essentially, is that alienology is basically something that covers or tries to cover the existence of demons in the spiritual realm, and they don the mask of an alien. And aliens, as we've discussed over the years, have become less and less malevolent and more benevolent. And if you'd like to read Alienology, upon which this series is based, or a couple of other books I've written about this phenomenon, Demons in Disguise and Nephilim Nightmare, you're welcome to go to my website, studygrowknow.com, and there click on in the menu books. That will take you to a page that shows all the individual covers of all the books I've written. Click on any cover and it will take you to a page that is specific for that book. And then in the lower left hand corner, look for the PDF icon, click it, and the book will start downloading immediately to your computer. There is no charge for this. You do not need to register with me. You don't need to send me an email asking permission. We do not gather information and sell it or give it away. In fact, I don't even know who or how many times my books are downloaded. So they're there for you to avail yourself of. I know in this economy, it is very difficult to make ends meet, and who can really afford, in many instances, the luxury of buying more books? So they're free as a downloaded PDF to your computer. If you wanted to print it out, you could always do that, but of course you can still read it on your computer. The books are available for purchase as well, and that, of course, is attached to a price because it comes to you via the mail and as a softcover bound edition. And I really can't do anything about that. I can't give those away, but I have the next best thing. Well, we've been dealing with this whole issue of alienology and demons who masquerade as aliens. They wear the mask of a fairly benevolent creature from another dimension or another galaxy. And we see these kind of instances that the New Age refers to in the Bible, but of course the New Age people twist them and make them to be something they are not, to prop up their beliefs in aliens, otherworldly creatures who are here, they tell us, to help us. Now in the book of Revelation, either the Apostle John saw what appeared to be a complete vision of the future in his mind, or God literally took him to heaven to see things unfold in the future firsthand. Now, if it was the former, if he saw these things in his mind, then it is clear that the vision itself was extremely realistic. If it was the latter, then God protected John and John's body from corruption and destruction when taken out of these three dimensions while he saw what God was going to do in the future. You'll remember when the angel took the tongue and touched John's lips and declared him purified, clean. There are many times when the Apostle John states that he was, quote, taken in spirit out of the body or to the throne of God, etc., in the book of Revelation. And we know from Satan's track record in Scripture that he wants more than anything for as many people as possible to attempt to circumvent God's prescribed will for their life. He does not want people to become, for instance, authentically saved. That's the last thing he wants them to do. And to that end, he has created a lie that has over time become so vast and so multi-layered that the lie itself appears to be absolutely real. And because of that, the distinction for most cannot be made between the falsehood he has created and the reality that exists. And that's pretty sad. But remember, God tells us that in the end, he will send a delusion that's so powerful, if it were possible, even the elect would be deceived, if it were possible. And that tells us something of the magnitude and power of the delusions. He's going to really free people to believe what they want to believe. That's pretty sad. Now, Satan knows all too well that people cannot leave our three dimensions for any other dimensions that may exist. We are at present in our fallen states, not built that way. However, that doesn't stop Satan from his attempts to replicate those dimensions with as much reality as possible in a person's mind as they conjure up what is known as an altered state. Now, while I'm aware that some people have had items implanted in their bodies, those things are easily done by Satan as well. Just look at the situations that occurred in the Bible. Think of how easily Satan created a tornado that took the lives of Job's children, Job chapter 1. Consider how Satan was able to gather troops to rise against Job's servants and to take what belonged to Job. Here is a being that does not exist naturally in our dimension, but exists naturally in the air, surrounding. It's another dimension, the surrounding the earth. And he has been allowed by God to retain much of his original power, with only his loyalty simply changing sides from God to himself. We have no real true understanding of what Satan is capable of doing, but it would appear from glimpses we're given in Scripture that he has tremendous power and ability, and he is still, praise God, kept on a leash. Could Satan use this power to create a reality for people that while that reality may actually exist in one form or another, does not involve taking people into that reality? Could he not simply recreate that reality or even create a powerful lie that appears to be real in someone's brain? I believe he can. I believe he can easily do that. And the more people who seek after this type of experience, the better he is able to create it, because he knows that if he has their cooperation, they're going to easily fall for his lie. Now, in Job chapter 7, Job briefly describes the hallucinations he experienced at what turns out to be the hand of Satan. As he cried out to God, Job said, quote, "Then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me with visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life," unquote. That's Job 7, 14, 15. Now, if Job became so afraid of the hallucinations, the dreams, the visions that he saw, that he wanted death rather than life, think of how traumatic those dreams and visions must have been. What he saw, we don't know. But to him, it was every bit as realistic as waking and living life. Now, I firmly believe that many of the horror movies that have been produced since the 20s, the 30s, the 1900s, 40s, 50s, 50s is when it really started to take off. I believe that they have originated not in people's brains, but with Satan's ideas, ideas he then planted in the brains of people who could make them happen. Think of some of the movies that have been produced within just the past few years. Now, many of these movies, they blur the line completely between good and evil, and they often promote evil as good. Beyond this, the amount of gore and fright has exponentially increased over time, leaving little to nothing to the imagination. With the rise of digital special effects, nearly anything that can be imagined can be created for the screen and done so very realistically. Years ago, a jump scene, remember those, was when someone or something jumped out from nowhere, scaring the audience with a jump. They jumped in their seats. Oh, well, that's passé now. And nothing short of gore-filled scenes will satisfy people anymore. More movies being made today deal with the supernatural, zombies, the devil himself, fallen angels, good angels, demons, and the like. People are getting so used to seeing these images on the screen that it would probably surprise very few if they ran into the actual beings on the street someday. Where exactly do these filmmakers obtain their images for the beings and entities they bring to life on the screen? Well, where else could they possibly come from except from the beings themselves who exist in other dimensions. Whether they look like that or not is really not the point, is it? The point is that these beings know how to scare us. A number of years ago, a movie called The Devil's Advocate was produced, starring Al Pacino. Now, the film portrayed Pacino as Satan, or at least one of his highest helpers. And he turns out to be the father of Keanu Reeves' character, Kevin Lomax. I watched it because I wanted to see exactly how the supernatural would be portrayed. I knew people in the special effects industry at the time and was also able to learn how some of those effects were done. It was fascinating. Now, there were a few scenes that stuck out in my mind from the movie. One of them was when one of the women in the movie was trying on dresses with a friend. The first woman was either possessed or demonized, the one who was trying on the dresses. While she was talking to her friend, invisible hands started moving all over her body, and the indentations those hands made on her skin became obvious. Now, her friend freaked out. The woman who was possessed? Nope. Business as usual. In another scene, a man in the law firm, the entire movie revolved around a particular law firm that Kevin Lomax was part of. But this particular man had apparently outlived his usefulness, and while jogging through Central Park in New York City one afternoon, he was attacked by two indigent men. During the attack, their faces changed from human-looking to absolutely beastly, what we would describe as demonic. The effect used in the movie was seamless, and I learned later it was done largely with the use of remote control masks the actors wore during the scene. From watching the movie, no one would have guessed that this is how it was accomplished. It simply appeared that the true identity of the beings that motivated the homeless men snuck through into our reality or dimension for just that moment. You know, science tells us, and you've heard this, we use roughly, 10% of our brain at most? Well, if this is true, what about the other 90% that's not being used? Does Satan have access to it, either directly or indirectly? Can he send messages, images into parts of our brain that will appear to be so real to us they are real, and people will react to them as if they are real? It's amazing. I recently marveled at the quality of animation in the movie Tangled. When I was a kid, animation was good. The best animation was Disney, because there were enough still image frames per second to create what appeared to be smooth action on the screen. It didn't jump around. The cheaper cartoons, you could tell, they jumped. Well, as time progressed, cartoons and animation in general became much more jerky in movement and style in an effort to save money. But enter the age of digital filmmaking. Movies like Star Wars and others broke ground with startling special effects. This made it possible to do things inside a computer that cost far less than to have a master model maker or even an artist build or draw using one-by-one images or miniature sets. While miniatures are still needed to be built and they're used for filming, digital effects made it possible to really achieve quality film sequences by blending the two without spending a ton of money, and also made it much, much safer for actors and stunt people. But even those early effects compared to what is now able to be produced pale in comparison to one another. Early on, it was difficult at best to create realistic looking water or fire sequences, for instance. That's now a thing of the past. Imagine what Satan is able to accomplish now by using producers that are loyal to him in Hollywood to create things that mirror the type of movies he wants mirrored. Folks, we are moving into an age when the lie is going to become much, much more powerful. The delusion is here, and it is real to many people. And I pray that you're above it, and only by knowing Christ are you. Well, that is our show for today. I thank you for joining me. And until we meet again, I pray that God will open the eyes of your heart so that you know how blessed you are.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.